You're listening to Pastor Bill Surjack.
Now we can look at Joshua in the scriptures that Joshua says as he's entering the promised land. And you notice he starts right off by talking with the officers. This is in Joshua, the first chapter, and beginning with the 10th verse to the 18th verse. So hear now the word of God. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now we will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan, toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command him, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Thank God that he has not left us alone to know what he is like, but he's revealed himself in a way that we can understand by becoming a man in the person of Christ, and that revelation is accurately retained for us in this is holy work. Last week I mentioned to you the old adage that sometimes the Old Testament is called the picture book for baby believers, and you need to go in there and look at the pictures and see how God works in his people and how the character of God is reflective in the pictures that are there in the Old Testament. And in this one particularly, you want to look at the picture, because they're east of the Jordan River. They are about to cross over the Jordan River, and the promised land is on the west side of the Jordan River. Now, Joshua tells the officers to go out and get ready. In 3 days, they will be crossing the Jordan River, and they will begin the conquest of the land. It's interesting to note that there's seemingly no thought whatsoever of how they're going to do that. Nobody's building boats. Nobody's building a bridge. The Jordan River is too deep to ford. How in the world were they going to go across the river in 3 days? They weren't going to be building bridges. They weren't going to be doing any of these other kinds of things in the 3 days that they had before Joshua said they were going to cross the river. I would suppose that God gave guidance to Joshua saying that he would enable them to be able to cross, but the officers probably had to go ahead and move without knowing a whole lot about how they were going to actually do it. They weren't making out plans to be able to do a battle plan for crossing the Jordan River or being able to map out strategy for plans to be able to conquer the land that was ahead of them. They were on the east side of the Jordan. The first thing they had to do was to be able to cross over the Jordan River. And that was no small task. And the thing that was rather amazing was that they went ahead with the preparations probably without really knowing how in the world they were going to do this. But they knew that God had told them to do it, and they were going to go ahead and do it. And it was the officers who were the first ones to be able to lead and to be able to work with people. And when you're an officer in the church, it's a serious matter, because you were the one that is going to have to set the direction, and you were the one that is going to seek to rally the people and bring the people together. All the way back with Joshua, this sort of thing was done. It continues today. As our church maybe enters into a new era, a promised land, a wonderful new time with some new leadership, the ones who are going to mark the beginnings of that new leadership, the officers, they're going to be the ones who will cross over the Jordan River. Now, there were within the Jews two people who were already in their land that God had promised them, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. God had promised them land that was east of the Jordan River. So in a way, they were already there. They didn't have any land that they particularly had to conquer. They could have just said, well, we're going to go home with our families, and we're going to go ahead and enjoy the land that God has given to us. The rest of you can just go ahead and carry out the battle. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. As the sermon title said, we're in this together. The people of Israel could not, as their land was conquered, say, okay, now my land is conquered. I'm going to go ahead and set things up in my own home and take care of myself and my family, and the rest of you can go ahead. They were together in the family of God. God had called the whole of the Israelites. And so the people who already had their land, their soldiers, still needed to be with the rest of the Israelites to be able to carry on the battles that were ahead of them. And that wasn't something that was just a simple thing that was done in that one time. That's basically the way it always worked in God's people. And it's probably not the way that we usually see things working in today's world. If you're looking at God's way of looking at life and looking at people, God would say that our real value comes from relationships. The real value is talked about as righteousness, as being rightly related to God. So the value that we have as a person comes not from our own individuality, despite the fact that our country today and our culture today talks about individualism in such a strong and a powerful way that that's where the value is. The Bible talks about the real value comes as we are related, as we are rightly related to God. The value that we have as a person comes from being a son or a daughter of God. The value that we have comes out of relationship. It doesn't come out of our own individuality. The same type of thing is true within the Christian faith. Our worth does not come because of our own individual salvation and who we are as an individual. Our worth comes because we are a part of God's family, and we are bound together as His church. And that's who we are. We are God's people in that way. And as such, we have incredible value. And really, the way that we will have value now and the way that we will have value forever is in that way, through a relationship to God and a relationship to each other. And without that relationship, we have very little value. We're not worth too much apart from who we are in God or who we are in God's family. That goes totally against what our culture says. Because our culture basically says that we have an incredible value as individuals, and each one of us has magnificent and powerful value. And as we carry that out a little bit further, the next thing that we have is that God has value to us only as He helps us. In some ways, when we think in terms of God, we think in terms of, well, what would God give me? And sometimes we talk about service to God, and then the next thing is, what do we get for our service to God? And the thing is, what we get is being God's child. We aren't the center of the universe. We don't have value in and of ourselves. Well, many times the way people look at relationships today, whether the relationship is marriage or friendship, or whether the relationship is business, people look at the relationship as having value if it does me some good, if it helps me. We don't ever think in terms of that the value might be in the relationship itself. But that's the way God always operates. Where we have our value comes from being a part of a body, being a part of the group of Jesus Christ, being a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Even if you were to say, what is the basic idea of heaven? The basic idea of heaven is when we go there, we will be a part of God's family. And our relationship to God will be uniquely and thoroughly there. And we will have infinite value because of our relationship to God. If we are in hell we will have our own individual value. And we will be able to completely use people. And the only way that those people will have any worth to us is if they can be worthwhile to ourselves. And that's the basic picture, and the basic structure of the way things work in heaven, the way things work in hell, the way things work in God's family, and the way things work outside of God's family. Outside of God's family, we are individuals who do pretty much whatever we do, and less than what we do will stretch us too much and do it go against our long-term self-interest. The Jews, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, although they already had what they needed, they were a part of God's covenant family. They were a part of the group of God's people that were working together. Despite the fact that they already had what they needed, they still needed to carry out the fullness of what they would do with God's family. And that's the way that they began then to cross over the Jordan. And one of the reasons that they did the things that they did was that they had authority that the people said, the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, that they said that they would do what they were supposed to do because that's what Moses told them to do. And they put faith in what Moses had said. Moses didn't get his authority because he was elected leader of the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, I don't think they've had such an election. Moses' authority did not come from the power of the people. Moses' authority came from God. God was the one who made Moses the leader of the people. And that's where his power and his authority came from. The reason the people did what he said was because what he said was what came from God. I don't think you could ever find an instance in any of the travels through the years where Moses told the people, this is what I think you ought to do. Moses didn't operate from what he thought ought to be done. Moses operated only from what God told him. So the people tended to trust Moses because they trusted God. And it wasn't Moses' brilliance or his position, his education, that gave him authority among the people of God. It was that he spoke for God. Now, the same type of thing works with pastors today. Preachers don't really have authority just because you have been elected to the position of pastor. A lot of times you can swing elections for various reasons. But people who are pastors today have authority when they teach people the Word of God, when they proclaim what God has said. That's what gives them authority. I don't have authority because of the degree that I have, although there's people might listen to me at the beginning because of that. The only reason that I might have ultimate authority in someone's life is because I told them about Jesus Christ. And over the years, they learned to ultimately trust what I said. It was not something that was coming from me. It was something that I believed was coming from God. And so there's where the authority lies. It doesn't lie in brilliance. It doesn't lie in education. It doesn't lie in position. The authority in God's kingdom always relies from teaching the Word of God, teaching the Scriptures. If you're looking for someone to follow after me as a pastor, that would be the most significant thing that you would find. Not how brilliant this person is. The most significant thing would be, will the person teach what God has said in His Word? And then get the authority. Not from themselves, but the authority from God. Joshua had incredible authority among the people because he had borrowed authority from Moses, because Moses had always told them what God said, not just what Moses had said.